Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team is able to join you live every single morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. And of course, if you're listening on Teach Better Talk podcast, we love to hear from you too. We are diving in with a brand new guest, which I hope some of you are very familiar with his work. And if not, this will be a great introduction. My name is Rae Heward, and we'll be right back. Hey everyone, good morning. We have Dan Thomas with us. Dan, how are you feeling? How are you doing?
Oh, couldn't be better. It's a great day.
I'm so appreciative that you're here and going to bring your insight to our Teach Better family. I mean, this is already like a good way to kick off a morning.
Oh, couldn't be better. That and a cup of coffee, we're all good.
I know, I have orange juice right now. Don't tell, but I'm kind of on an orange juice kick. I probably need to get help for it. I might be addicted, but I hear the first step is admitting it. So I feel like I'm on the up and up.
There you go.
So good. Friends, if you are not familiar with Dan, he is an incredible educator doing really, really, really good work in bringing play and just some common sense back into the classroom. Dan, will you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you support educators?
Well, I'm a STEM / technology education teacher in Jamestown, New York, and I've been teaching for about 30 years at my alma mater, actually. So I've had one job, which is weird, in kind of today's education world. And I get to play with toys all day long. My superintendent doesn't like me to call them toys, but my classroom's full of Lego and robots and 3D printers and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff we play with, and we just try to apply what they're learning. We try to, you know, we take the math stuff and we use it, and that's what we do.
Mm. You know, I knew that our community was going to be excited to meet you if this was their first time, but with that description, I know you got everybody hooked. Everybody. I see that you're a Bills fan, Buffalo Bills fan through and through.
Always, yeah.
Man, my aunt is the biggest Buffalo Bills fan, and she will be so unbelievably proud. I will be getting a text after this show from my aunt who catches this on Facebook being like, who did you interview that was a Bills fan?
Actually made this in ChatGPT.
Oh, see, another way AI can support us, sharing the things we love and getting creative. I love it. So, Dan, I know that you said you work at your alma mater, which I would agree is something that I feel like only very few educators can celebrate and claim with the one role in the alma mater. Did this class exist when you went there, or has this been something that you've been able to build?
Yes to both of those, actually. My diploma actually says industrial arts. My college, so I've been here since 93. And it used to be the shop classes you took where you'd make the candlesticks and the pump handled lamps. And slowly and surely we've added in some tech to it, some coding, some Minecraft, all kinds of stuff. Just we throw things at the wall, see what sticks and learn something. And we try to adapt it to the kids we got in front of us too.
Well, I think that's essential. And I know so many educators are going to be wondering in the comments, so I might beat some of you to it, but how does this class work within the school day? Is this considered an elective? Is this a core requirement? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love candlesticks, but it sounds like your class would be the fun one that I get to play with all the games and really use my creativity to the best of my ability.
Yeah, in New York State, there's a unit of tech required in middle school between seventh and eighth grade. So I teach it, we put it in the entire seventh grade. So I have all the seventh graders all year long. Plus I teach some high school classes.
Nice. Oh my God. I think you might have the dream job. I won't lie. This sounds like my dream.
It's not a bad gig. I get to play with toys all day long.
Do you need an assistant? I feel like I might be your perfect, I'm a really good assistant. I can, you know, help out. I have two hands that Like I could carry stuff and point to stuff. You know what I mean?
Anytime you want. Door's always open.
Love it. You know, before we head into any educational conversation, because I know our community has so much that they can learn from an educator that's gotten so, such a dedication to applying our learning. Tell us a little bit about yourself outside of education. I mean, I really do consider teaching at some points like very much a lifestyle, but what other things do you feel like you enjoy?
Oh gosh. Well, I like my Bills here.
Makes sense. Football all the way.
I do some stuff with Lego education. So I, you know, who doesn't like to play with Lego bricks? I actually had a couple kids come into class in seventh grade and say, I've never played with Lego before.
What?
Right.
No.
So, you know, Lego's a big part of my life. I like to play some golf. I've coached some sports here at school, which is another great way to meet the kids. We're a swim family. So my daughter is a swim coach at a small college in Kentucky. My son is graduating hopefully in the spring. So yeah. And we're getting close to the retirement age, right? We're getting there to go help out some teachers some more, I think.
Yeah, no. And I have to tell you, while I believe that you may retire from your like official role and title right now, I think it'll be really challenging for you to ever actually step away from education. I have a feeling that retirement for you will just mean supporting more teachers and making this a reality in their classrooms across the U.S.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing these things now. Yes. That's kind of the goal, to go out and love meeting teachers, love going talk to, educators and just meeting people all over, something like that, like we're doing here. And just COVID was great for that for me. I got to meet a lot of cool people.
I love it. Well,
let's virtually.
Actually, yeah, no, I mean, that's how I live my life. Like almost 1,000% virtually. All my friends exist on my computer. So I get it. You know, Dan, I want to dive into how you continue to support educators, maybe some tips and tricks you might have for them if they want to incorporate either this class into their school or really just the mindset, the practice, the creativity that comes with it. So we'll be right back. Continuing our conversation here with Dan as we dive into some elements that he not only incorporates in his classroom every single day, but also looking at how we can support educators building these types of activities, this way of thinking into their own classrooms, no matter what you teach at any grade level, at any subject around the world. Dan, when you are supporting educators or having discussions with teachers, what do you feel like is one of your easy go-tos in terms of challenging their thinking or getting them in the mindset of bringing this type of education into their classroom?
Well, there's a couple of things I kind of look at. I like, you have to be willing to try something. Sure. You have to be willing to not be an expert at it and to say, let's learn together. I mean, that's one of the things I've learned over the years. It's that lead learner mentality that you know, you don't have to know everything. But you know, you need to know where to go to look. You need to know where to go find things. And that's huge. I mean, that's a life skill. I don't care what job you're going to teach these kids to do. They're going to have to learn that it's, you know, there's going to be some struggle and there's going to, and you have to roll with it, and you're going to have this great lesson planned. You know, you got this ed tech tool that you're going to use, you know, and you're going to come in and the internet's going to be out that day. Well, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Plan B, you know?
Yeah. You know, I wonder if COVID, obviously there's so many criticisms we can have of that really difficult time in the world, but I wonder if that helps educators accept that a little bit more. Because prior to COVID, I know the majority of people that I surrounded myself with felt like they needed to be perfect all the time, have all the answers. They were just maybe starting to explore some of the progressive practices of not being content delivery systems and some of those other things. And COVID really forced us to apply this practice that you're talking about of being willing to fail. That was a big conversation we were having back in 2020. Do you feel like you've seen that continue now that we're entering into almost 2024, or are you still seeing some hesitancy?
A little bit of both. I think there's some teachers that went back to the, I feel safe here. Okay. You know, this is my comfort zone. And some that like are embracing technology, but you don't have to, you know, don't use it for just because you can, yeah. Right? It's got to have a reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how old they are, whether they're 5-year-olds in kindergarten or they're 18-year-olds in the senior class, they're kids. And they're still kids and they got to play and they got to enjoy it. And they got to, you got to discover the curriculum, not cover it. You know what I mean? They got to let them enjoy the process and focus. And that's kind of what I do is I tell my kids, I don't really care what the outcome is. I do, but I want to know how you got from the start of it to the finish. I want to know that process that you did in there. And it's kind of like a buzzword going around now, but that's the way we do. I could care less. The project's going to take care of itself. One of my favorite quotes, Bill Walsh was if you don't know who Bill Walsh was, he coached the San Francisco 49ers during their dynasty runs there in the 80s. And one of the things he said was, take care of the little things. The big things take care of themselves. Right? You want to ace that test, take care of the day-to-day stuff. That test is going to take care of itself when you learn it. Mm-hmm. I coach football. So we can only control what we can control. And so, yeah, we focus on getting stuff done and doing the day-to-day little things, little steps, little successes. And we also celebrate the epic failures on top of it too, because that's just as important as the wins.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's a very similar mindset that even in trainings that I'm affiliated with that are more focused on, you know, instructional practices and mastery learning. I mean, that mindset still needs to exist. And I think this, if nothing else, the opportunity for teachers to step out of their comfort zone and be willing to fail in some way, shape, or form is actually just what like progressive good teaching looks like right now. This isn't just if you want to incorporate STEM or just if you want to incorporate fun into your classroom. This is really an opportunity that we're looking at to say, hey, this is what our classrooms need right now. We all need to be, again, as you mentioned earlier, those lead learners.
Yeah. And you see it everywhere. I mean, if you really enjoy what you're doing and you're having a good time at it, it's not work. You don't have to. I get to go to school every day. I don't have to go to school. Now there's days where you have to go to school, right? But I get to go to school and I get to meet 120 different kids every day, and they all bring something different. And there's nobody that walks into my room that can't teach me something. There's nobody in my school that doesn't, you know, everybody in my school knows something I don't. So I can learn something from all of them. Mm-hmm. Make that connection with the kids too, because they're not going to learn from me if they don't make that connection.
Yeah, I think that's a great reminder as we head into our day today is maybe keeping in the front of your mind, every single person I interact with today can teach me something. Can you learn from the majority of people that you engage with today? And it's just that simple, right? We're not going to give you some crazy, like new strategy you need to go find or change your mindset in one conversation, but can you walk into your day with every single person you interact with, can you learn something? And that would be quite an experience if you could accomplish even that to an 80% success rate. That would be enormous.
Yeah, we actually, like, there's kind of a story there. We have these what we call neighborhoods in our school now. We're doing a building project like most schools in New York State are right now. And they're redoing our office. They drag these tables out into the hallway, these tall bistro tables. One just happened to be outside my room. So me and the science teacher next door, we're sitting out there one morning and kids would stop and talk. You know, usually I'm sitting in my room doing some stuff, but now kids are stopping to talk. Teachers are stopping to talk. And all of a sudden now, outside of every teacher's door, there's a table or chairs. And most of the teachers sit out there in the morning or the kids go out and work there. And now we have these neighborhoods and it's totally something as ridiculous as dragging a table out of a main hall. Totally changed the atmosphere in the school. But if the administrator had said, hey, we want you to do this, right? It was just a fluke thing, just a, you know, a weird thing. And that, just that climate of it, learning from somebody, talking to somebody in the morning for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is.
Mm, I like those flukes. That's when the magic happens. You know, obviously we could talk on this all day long, but if you wanted to have our community here tuning into the Teach Better Today show, take something special away. Maybe it's your soapbox moment, something you can't stop thinking about. What do you hope that they can walk away with from our conversation here, outside of course, connecting with you and keeping up on social media to continue to foster a strong network of educators that challenge our thinking? What else is on your mind?
Well, you know, they're kids, like I said before, they're kids. And you got to play. I mean, play is wonderful. Walk into a kindergarten classroom, go to a daycare, right? The kids are playing. When do they stop playing? Right? Mm-hmm. Usually around third grade-ish. And then we start putting tests at them, but they want to play. And if they're playing, they're not learning. That's when the day goes by fast, when you're getting stuff done, because it's powerful. It hits a whole mess of things. Lots of cognitive skills. Like there's 24, 25 different skills that play hits, like that you don't know. We do a little duck activity, 6 Lego bricks, and it hits 24 cognitive skills. Yeah, just you know, what you wouldn't think, pull out some Lego and have them build a reflection and play. Play with your kids and get to know them. Make connections.
Maybe we even challenge them. You mentioned AI earlier. Maybe if you're not sure how to incorporate play into your classroom, if you're sitting back right now and you're like, oh, I'm a middle school math teacher, we don't have time for play. Or if you're an English teacher at the high school level and you're like, play can't exist where I teach. I mean, let's go to ChatGPT. Let's go to those AI tools, Magic School, all of that thing, and say, give me 4 ideas on how to incorporate play into my classroom. And let's just see what you get. Maybe they'll be all terrible ideas. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll get you thinking. So I love just the challenge of being open-minded to incorporating this concept into our classrooms. As I know we've talked about this before on the show, but this is essential for how our students need to become critical thinkers in this process.
Very much so. Yeah.
Dan, how can people stay connected to you following today's conversation? Are you on social media? Where can they find your content?
Well, if you don't know me, my Twitter handle is @CoachThomasTech. And I post a daily dad joke and a selfie every day. Kind of takes a life of its own. There's a story there too.
I love it. That's a great place to go. Wonderful. Anywhere else where you want to send our Teach Better family to stay connected to you?
I'm starting to build on Instagram. I'm on Facebook and I'm on LinkedIn. So all the biggies. Dabbling into TikTok a little bit.
Ooh, look at
right
that.
Right now I'm just scrolling it.
So good. If you guys are having any issue connecting with Dan, just reach out to me. I'd be happy to get you connected. He is a very passionate educator doing really, really wonderful things, and definitely that will not stop anytime soon. So make sure you continue to grow your network with educators that enhance your thinking. Dan, thanks for joining the show this morning. I so appreciate you and excited to keep this conversation going in a virtual space.
Outstanding. Thanks, Ray.
All right. We'll see you soon, friends. We hope you have an amazing rest of your day. And don't forget to tune in to Teach Better Today morning show every single morning, Monday through Friday. See you next time, friends. Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.